he said in Luke 24 that you opened their understanding that they could understand the scriptures.
Yes.
So that tells us a couple of things, Lord. Number one, it tells us that we're not going to be able to open them unless you open them for us.
Yes.
It also tells us that it's your will, Lord, that we understand the scriptures. So that's what we're doing here this morning, Lord. There's two or more of us gathered, and we're coming into your midst. We know that you're right here with us, Father. We're just going to look to you.
Thank
to
you,
open
Lord.
The scriptures. Father, we can hear definitions of words and stories, and they can go on and on, but unless you open it, it's just going to be words and stories.
Yes.
So, Father, we just pray and agree that this morning you are going to open your word to the rich and to the other brothers and sisters
yes.
that are in this place for your glory, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, well, you know, we're still on Psalms 51, which is, I love the psalm, don't get me wrong, but just studying, you know, about sin and all that's not my favorite subject. But it is interesting, very interesting. But I was sitting there praying, and I thought, you know, Psalms 51 is good and all that, but it's still the Old Testament. You know, the Lamb that came to take away the sin of the world had not appeared yet. So I really thought it was important to start today off with some New Testament stuff that just, I really was, you know, interested in these scriptures because I really think it helps to, you know, open up where we are. And needless to say, I mean, the scriptures are for us, right? I mean, it's our owner's manual, isn't it? I mean, so let's talk a little bit about, let's go to the epistles. 1 John is a 1 John's epistle. There's two scriptures that as a young Christian always drove me crazy because I knew that the Bible didn't contradict itself, but I also knew that, you know, in the natural, these scriptures contradict itself. In the spirit, they don't. I just think it's a neat thing to discuss. So we're going to discuss this for a second before we get into Psalms 51. I'm going to just read two scriptures, and then we're going to go back and read a little background, you know, a little ahead of it, behind it, whatever. But I just want you to hear these two scriptures and hear what they say. 1 John 1:8 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Okay, we're going to read a little more than that. I don't want to take this out of context, but I just wanted to get that out. The second one is 1 John 3:9, and it says, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin." Okay? "For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God." Now, do you see what I'm talking about? If you're just reading this as a book, if it's not rhema to you, like Jim was talking about in the prayer, if God does not open this thing up to you, you're sitting there saying, there it is. Found a discrepancy right here. Because look, all these Christians walking around this world today, they're not without sin. Right? I mean, if you just read it in the natural. So, I start breaking this thing down, and, you know, it's really interesting. But anyway, let's kind of do a little background, because I hate to just pull one scripture out and try to talk about one scripture when, you know, the answers are in the scriptures. So let's go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5-10. If someone would like to read that that's close to a microphone, that would be great. Tell us what version you're reading out of, what translation. If anybody has that, just make sure you speak loud so the CD can hear it. They can hear it on the CD.
Do you want me to read?
Go ahead, please.
I'm reading out of the
good.
Amplified Bible.
That's good. I like that. Amplified.
1 John 1, we're starting at 5.
5.
And this is the message of promise, which we have heard from him and now are reporting to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. No, not in any way. So, if we say we are partakers together and enjoy fellowship with him, when we live and move and are walking about in darkness, we are both speaking falsely and do not live and practice the truth which the gospel presents. But if we really are living and walking in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have true, unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses, removes us from all sin and guilt, cleanses, keeps us cleansed from sin in all its forms and manifestations. If we say we have no sin, refusing to admit that we are sinners, we delude and lead ourselves astray, and the truth which the gospel presents is not in us, does not dwell in our hearts. If we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, he is faithful and just, true to his own nature and promises, and will forgive our sins, dismiss our lawlessness, and continually cleanse us from all unrighteousness, everything not in conformity to his will and purpose, thought and action. Mind open.
That's good, right there. That'll make you shout, won't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, come on. That's some good news. Let's go to chapter 3 and someone read, let's see. Chapter 3, 3, John 3, 1 through 6, if someone can read that.
The Amplified, I
love Amplified. You can lead, I love the Amplified, so yes, please.
See what an incredible quality of love the Father has given, shown, bestowed on us, then we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. And so we are. The reason that the world does not know, recognize, and not acknowledge us is that it does not know, recognize, and acknowledge him. Beloved, we are, even here and now, God's children. It is not yet disclosed or made clear, but we shall be hereafter. But we know that when he comes and is manifested, we shall, as God's children, resemble and be like him. For we shall see him just as he really is. And everyone who has this hope resting on him cleanses, purifies himself, just as he is pure, chaste, undefiled, and guiltless. Everyone who commits and practices sin is guilty of lawlessness, for that is what sin is. Lawlessness, the breaking, violation of God's law by transgression or neglect, being unrestrained and unregulated by his commands and his will. You know that he appeared in visible form and became man to take away upon himself sins, and in him there is no sin, essentially and forever. No one who abides in him, who lives and remains in communion with and in obedience to him, deliberately, knowingly, and habitually,
there it is,
commits, practices sin. And no one who habitually sins has either seen or known him, recognized him, or has had an experiential acquaintance with him. Mm-hmm. Makes it clear, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, can you imagine, though, without digging into that, how a baby Christian will read that and say, what? What? Come on, man, this is just, you know. Mm-hmm. But like, I like how it says in the New Living Translation, is anyone who continues to live with him, anyone who continues to live with him, in him, will not sin. But anyone who keeps on sinning, keeps on sinning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Habitually.
Yeah, I like the Amplified was awesome. Yeah. Because that really nails it down. Say, your whole attitude on life is a hedonistic attitude, you know, to please self, you know, and that's all you care about, you know. So, but let's, if anybody have anything they want to say about that, and then we're just going to break down. We broke down the word sin in the Old Testament in Hebrew. Now let's break it down in the Greek, because it's really, really interesting.
Can I read that out of J.B. Phillips?
Sure.
Okay. Consider the incredible love that the Father has shown us in allowing us to be called the children of God. This is not just what we are called, but it's what we are.
Yes.
Our heredity on the Godward side is no mere figure of speech, which explains why the world will no more recognize us than it recognized Christ. Oh, dear children of mine, forgive the affections of an old man. Have you realized it? Here and now, we are God's children. We don't know what we shall become in the future. We only know that if reality were to break through, we should reflect his likeness, for we should see him as he really is.
Yes.
Everyone who has a heart like this keeps himself pure, for he knows how pure Christ is. Everyone who commits sin breaks God's law, for that is what sin is, by definition, a breaking of God's law. Mm-hmm. You know, moreover, that Christ became man for the purpose of removing sin, and he himself was quite free from sin. The man who lives in Christ does not habitually sin. The regular sinner has never seen or known him.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
That's
really good.
I love that about the reality.
Oh, yes, reality breaks forth.
Yes.
You know, even that phrase, reality breaks forth, it makes it a sudden, quick, you know, it's just the stage is set, and it's something God is going to complete. Mm-hmm. And I feel that it is going to be a breaking forth of it, so that there's no problem in understanding this is not of us, it is of him.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Quickly.
Anybody else? Well, let's look at that word sin. In the Strong's, it's G264 and 266. They're kind of combined. And both of them list this sin. You know, I just wouldn't believe that they would list this first. I found this really interesting. It says, to be without a share in. That's the first listing on the Strong's on 264 and 266, the word sin. It's so much different. I mean, there's some similarities to the Hebrew from the Greek, but the Greek I like a lot more. Because, I mean, it's really the very first thing that's listed for sin in the Greek is to be without a share in.
Mm.
I mean, is that wild or what? Then it says to miss the mark, which is same as Hebrew. Mm-hmm. To err, same as Hebrew. But I like this one. To be mistaken. To be mistaken. It's that mindset. It's that new man. That new man mindset is not mistaken. He knows who he is in Christ. He's not mistaken with this thing called sin and this, you know, world and this flesh and this whatever. He's not mistaken by that. You know, in this word sin, have you ever read and broke down a word you're thinking one way, but then there's an opposite thing on that same word? Have you ever done that where it's like there's a good and a bad, I guess? I mean, I don't know how you'd say it, but listen to this. You dig a little deeper in this word, the Greek word sin, and you get the word alpha. okay, which is the first letter in the Greek alphabet. So the word, and who's the Alpha and who's the Omega? Okay, so that, you dig a little deeper, it says Alpha, okay? You know, Jesus is the first and the last. We think of him as being the first when we get born again. He's the first in our lives and everything. But do you think much about him being the last? You know, you always, as a kid, you're always taught everlasting life. There is no end. Okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but there is. There is. Let's talk a little bit about that. Basically, everything in time will return to Christ, right? I mean, is that he will reconcile all things to himself. That's the end. He will become all in all, right? Okay.
The end of the self-struggle.
Yeah. He will complete that which he began. So there's that another word that says end, complete. If something's complete, it's complete. Okay? So, you know, it's a long journey back for mankind. However, it all begins with Jesus and will end with Jesus for all mankind. Okay? Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of the law of circularity? Okay. The law of circularity means exactly what we're saying. Huh?
Everything returns back where it started, yeah.
Yeah, back where it started. So this is the definition of sin? Are you kidding me? I mean, come on. So anyway, it says, you dig a little deeper and it's the word meros. Okay, which the marismos is the dividing of soul and spirit. Okay? So the word meros is a primitive root of the word sin. I mean, it's just, I kept digging. I go, this is not what I thought it was going to be. Go ahead.
The only thing about in God going in that circularity mode, returning to where it started, the difference is that when it started in innocence. When it returns in grace.
Good. That's good.
That'll be the difference. It will return with a knowledge of what God did for us and who and what we were. And the way I like to look at it is like that old story of the prince and the pauper. You know, they were two identical kids. One was a prince and one was a pauper. And they changed places, and the prince never had no idea what a pauper was like until he lived as a pauper, and the pauper had no idea what a prince was like until he lived as a prince. And to be honest with you, when man fell, scripture tells us that Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world, so God knew this whole circularity thing was going to happen. And what he actually did was he allowed us to, he let man go into a low, low realm that when he came into a high realm, he would actually realize where, who and what he was in Christ. And it was only in Christ, not in himself. And that's the difference there, you know. But that circularity, it's going to circle, but it's going to come back into a higher realm than it was when it started. Because it started off in innocence, and it will end in the knowledge of God. And a true knowing of God.
That's
the way
good.
I see it. And,
yeah, that's,
you know,
good.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you look at Paul. Paul went said he went to the third heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he may have seen more than most, you know, because of what he saw. And even Paul said, who will deliver me from this body of death? Mm-hmm. I mean, who's going to deal with this, you know, mistaken identity of being in that, you know, that old man? You know, and if anybody knew, Paul knew. So
can I say one other
yes,
thing?
Sir.
Even when you look at the name Adam, and you actually go back and you study into the name Adam, you find that it means ruddy, man of low degree. It means red, you know, but also means man of low degree. It means hypocrite. How many times do Christians get called a what?
Mm-hmm.
Hypocrite.
Yeah.
Why? Because they don't live up to an expectation that the world has of them. You know.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, man was in that man of low. He was a man of low degree. Well, as we ascend in Christ, we're going to become a man of high degree. Because of the presence of God in our life, not because of who and what we are, but who and what He is.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. Amen. Well, let's take that word meros. The word meros means a part. Mm-hmm. A part. And then it goes on to say one of the constituent parts of a whole. Just what we're talking about. One of the constituent parts of a whole, a lot, a destiny. We are part of the whole, mm-hmm. the all in all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you take that scripture, give me a little liberty here to play around. Hopefully I'm not doing anything that the Lord would be upset with me about, but I'm going to take this 1 John 1:8. And I'm going to put a few words in here, okay? So it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Put this in there. If we say that we have no part in Him, we deceive ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is not in us, right? And whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Whosoever is born of God has, whosoever is born of God has a part in the whole. Okay? For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Did I thoroughly confuse everybody at that point? I mean, it's just amazing how, you know, the Greek and the Hebrew for the same English word is so different,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it's still the same English word. And you can see how people say, well, that's just a book and it's confusing and it's, you know, contradicts itself and whatever. No, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
It does not. Okay, any other thing on that? I just thought, somewhere in this study of Psalms 51, we needed to get into the, you know, after resurrection stuff, you know, that we're walking in right now. And wow, it's amazing how God has put all this together. So, any other comments on 1 John?
Say one more thing. I was just looking at Thayer's on that word.
Mm-hmm.
And part of Thayer's Greek, you know, lexicon, and part of what it says there, it says in the Greek writings, it means an error in understanding.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's true.
And that's what sin is. It's an error in understanding.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
We don't understand mm-hmm. what we're really doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think that's why a lot of times we don't realize that we operate usually in a realm of that's not really really reality. And that's why when I read that 1 John out of the Phillips, he says, if reality were to break forth, we would be just like him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we're not really operating in a realm
mm-hmm.
of reality.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, a lot of times, it's an error in understanding. In the religious system out there, there's a lot of misunderstanding, you know. But thank God that his understanding is going to break forth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when it does, then the reality of Christ will really come forth in its fullness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it is breaking forth as
yeah.
we speak. I,
right.
believe.
Right.
I mean, I think
it
it's
is.
A one-time event.
No,
I
it's,
think
it's gradual.
It is.
It's a, it, yeah.
It is. Yeah.
When you were talking about the very first meaning of that word, has no share in,
mm-hmm.
it reminded me of a person who owns stock
mm-hmm.
in a company, you know, and a person who has no share, who has no interest in anything, you know, they will sit up on a hill and be alone and say, you know, whatever. I'm just going to live up here and be all by myself and depend on myself, 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 myself. It's all self, you know.
Yeah.
But when you have a share, just like I said to Mike the other day when we bought this juicer, I said, you want to try this juice and stuff and see if we can get a little healthier and do this and do that. You know what he said? He said, I'm all in. See, he had a share. I'm all in. And that's what a child of God does. I am so into God, you know. I'm into God, and He is into me, and I don't understand it. But you didn't hear the word self there one time.
Well, in fact, in between one and two, it's a lot of talk about love.
Right.
It's a lot of talk about loving your neighbor. And he even specifically talks about loving your Christian brothers and sisters, you know, specifically. And if you're operating in that, you know, and you're in the Spirit, I mean, have you ever experienced really the presence of God so heavy that you weepy or whatever? I mean, the last thing on your mind is sin. You know, it is the last thing on your mind. Because when the presence comes on you and you're so engulfed in Him, oh my gosh, all you can think about is Him and love. And, you know, so that's what chapter 2 talks a lot about is, you know, I'll just say this. It says, he talks about in chapter 2, before I move on, just talks about how He talks from little children to young men. And the little children is your sins are forgiven. Okay? And then young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Little children, because you have known the Father. And then I have written to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong. And the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. The flesh, I mean, whatever you want to call the wicked one, you know? So anyway, I just thought that was interesting. Okay. Any other comments before we go to Psalms 51:5? Psalms 51:5 says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And all the kids back there are saying, well, if that was David's case, it must be my case too. My mom's not sinful. Again, it's back to digging through there and figuring out what David was saying. David was not making excuses for his sin. He was just confessing how his very nature from, you know, the old man nature, you know, not the regenerated nature, but the old man nature, was sinful. David realizes how desperately he needed a Savior. Romans 7:23 says, but I discern in my bodily members, in the sensitive appetites and wills of the flesh, a different law or rule of action. I like a different law, rule of action. At war against the law of my mind, my reason, and making me a prisoner to the law of sin that dwells in my bodily organs, in the sensitive appetites and wills of the flesh. Oh, happy and pitiable and wretched man that I am. Who will release me and deliver me from the shackles of this body of death? This is Paul talking. Oh, thank God. Here's the answer. Oh, thank God. The Amplified says, He will. Through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. The Anointed One, our Lord. So indeed, I, of myself, with the mind and heart, serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There's that mistaken identity. You know, you're either serving the law of sin or you're the law of the Lord. And this is Paul speaking. I don't know when he wrote this, if it was before he ascended, after he ascended, or what. But anyway, you know, it's not like David was slamming his mom. That was not the intent of this. I don't even think David's mom was mentioned in the Bible by name, was she? I don't remember. So it wasn't saying she was, you know, a bad person or whatever. It was just talking about the nature. Anybody have anything on that?
This here says, David recognizes that sin pervades humankind in a universal condition from the very outset of our existence. Sin is everywhere and in everyone, and David confessed that it had been with him since birth. And he wasn't blaming his mother.
No.
So why should I far from forming the basis of an excuse, why should I be blamed for my sins, which I was born in this way? Confession contrasts the blameless ways of God with the innately evil ways of men.
Mm-hmm. I thought that word shapen, it says, I was shapen in iniquity. I thought that word shape was interesting. It means to twist, to whirl, to dance, to writhe, fear, tremble, travail, be in anguish. You know, it's like nobody would choose that way. You know, but that's what's going on. Then you turn it around and it means to shapen, if you're shaping in a good way, it's like Jesus is shaping us, you know, it's turning around. Just like repentance, you're turning around. You're turning that iniquity around into godliness, into righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. It also means to wait, stay, and delay. Okay, that's Psalms 51:5. Any comments on this? Okay. 51:6.
Yeah.
I just wrote this down before we go. It says the word mother of the way and a parting of the road. A parting of the road. When it says that says he was shaping and putting and sin did my mother conceive me. That word mother is a parting of the road. I don't have anything. Anybody have anything on that? A parting of the road. It says mother of the way. Anyway, I just thought it was interesting. Okay, 51:6. Someone want to read that?
This is...
Go ahead. You can read 7, right? Let's get the kids involved here.
But you desire honesty from the Lord, teaching you wisdom even now.
Say that again.
But you desire honesty from the Lord, teaching you wisdom even now. Okay. So even as a little baby child, even before birth, he desires honesty. Mm-hmm.
That's good, yeah. Truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom.
Mm. You know that word part is in italics.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to talk about the hidden parts, the New Testament says that he is the hidden man of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And literally God's presence dwells inside our heart, if you want to put it in that terms. But he's the hidden man of the heart, and that's the person that has to come forth. That's the person that he's really going to bring redemption to and bring redemption through, is the hidden man of the heart. And you know, he's going to make us to know wisdom, and we know all wisdom and all knowledge is hidden in Christ. So as that begins to break to the outside, then it's going to begin to change your whole life, your whole mode of thinking and everything else, you know. And, you know, that's literally what we need there. It said, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. And we know Jesus also was the way, the truth, and the life. That's the only real truth, you know. And there's things that are facts, but they're not necessarily the truth. You know, I mean, I love the way Benny Skinner brought that years ago, the difference between truth and fact. You know, fact is you're sick. Truth is by his stripes you were healed. Now, you can operate in the fact realm, or you can operate in the truth realm. And there's a difference, and that's where we need to ask God to help us to not only have a head knowledge of the truth, but also to have that really heart knowledge of the truth, that we not only say it, but we actually do it. You know, we live in it, you know. And that's not always the easy thing, because truth is you were healed. Fact is you might still be coughing or have a pain or whatever it is, you know. Well, when the truth catches up with the fact, it'll overcome the fact, you know. Praise the Lord.
Anybody else? I like how the word truth is firmness, faithfulness, security, integrity, trustworthy. I mean, these are all great words, and that's Jesus.
Yes, it is.
That just described Jesus completely. To trust, to confide in. There you go. We all confide in Jesus every day. And then the words inward parts, inner regions, hidden recesses, inward parts. I like this. The seat of the mind and thoughts.
Okay.
Reigns. To cover over with fat. And then you get down to the primitive root, it's to stretch out, to extend, to spread out, like an archer drawing his bow. And then it means overlay. The wood was overlaid with the gold in the temple, right. You know, and we know what the significance of that is. But God just doesn't overlay us with gold. He consumes us with gold. We are complete in him. Any comments on that?
Every time an archer pulls back his bow. Oh, go ahead.
What's that?
Every time an archer pulls back his bow, he has purpose in mind.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's wanting to hit the mark. Remember, yes. We talked about sin was the archer missing the mark.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was going to say was the truth will set you free.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Facts won't set us free. Facts never set us free. Facts probably bind us up.
Yeah.
Truth will set us free.
Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The only way we can be free is in him and him and us.
Can I say one more thing? I was just thinking when you said that about facts binding you up. Fact is, when Peter climbed out of the boat, he was going to sink.
Yes.
Truth is, he walked on the water until he began to think about the facts.
That's good.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Yes. Yes. That's good.
That's a sermon right there.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
Okay, anybody else? Last thing I wanted to bring out of Psalms 51:6 was the word wisdom. And in the Hebrew, it's the skill of an artificer. I had no idea what an artificer, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but I do have the definition.
That's probably like a skilled craftsman, workman.
A person who is skillful or clever in devising ways of making things. Right. An inventor.
Yeah.
A skilled craftsman.
Yeah.
Piety towards God.
Mm-hmm.
This right here's got a good little. It says God desires obedience to his commands from within. Jehovah is the source of wisdom, but it must be communicated to a person's heart. This is similar to the idea of God's commands residing in the heart.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Anybody else? Okay, who wants to read Psalms 51:7?
Thank you very much.
Just got elected, buddy.
And you have the message?
No, I got
amplified. Good.
Thank you very much. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Ceremonially wash me, and I shall in reality be whiter than snow.
Okay.
Do you want to hear it in the message?
Yes.
The message says, soak me in your laundry and I'll come out clean.
Oh, that's good.
Well,
the word I was thinking was bleach.
Anybody else have any other translations?
With King James.
Let's see what the New Living says.
Oh, I didn't tell you the rest of it. It said, scrub me and I'll be a snow white life. I missed that part.
Snow white life?
Yeah, scrub me and I'll be a snow white life.
The New Living translation says, purify me from my sins and I will be clean. That's faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Yeah, that's good.
Mine just said purge.
Mm-hmm.
Purge.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that word purge. Here we go back around. The word purge in Hebrew is H2398. It says to sin, miss the way, go wrong, incur guilt, forfeit. But then it goes on and says purify from uncleanliness. To expiate.
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 Oh, yeah, I always thought it was expiate. No.
I just said
somebody. Whoever's a good English teacher.
To cleanse. That's that word purge.
Yeah.
Yes.
Starts off talking about sin, then it talks about cleansing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Hyssop is a plant used for medicinal and religious purposes. It's a plant of Palestine used in Jewish purification rites. And then the word white, to be white. Purge. It just goes around. Purge, to cleanse from the filthiness of sin. And then it says, to make bricks. To make bricks. What? To purge oneself or to be purged. Anybody have any thoughts on to make bricks? I mean, wouldn't that kind of seem out of context in a way? I mean, there's got to be a reason.
Well, bricks mean strength.
Okay, there you go.
What do you think?
Definitely the three little pigs couldn't blow down the brick
house. Uh-huh.
Take what you got and you have to make it stronger, because if bricks don't start out bricks, you have to build them up and put them in a baking oven, I think. I don't know exactly, but so to make strong, kind of, just to...
Yeah, you might have hit something, that oven thing, because then
purge. Can I?
Sure.
The word purge, you know, it's we all know it means like to purge your body or, you know, to go with a cleansing kind of a diet for a while. But recently, just in the last couple of years, I'm hanging around with old folks now. I can't imagine why. I guess it's because I'm getting older myself. And
you've got some young ones out
there. Yeah, but a lot of us women, when we're cleaning our house, we say, I'm purging my house. And that just means all this junk that has built up over the years. I don't want it anymore. I don't need it anymore. Mm-hmm. It's just cluttering up my house. Mm-hmm. I'm dumping it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a really good, you know, kind of a signifying thing of how we get rid of the old so we have room for the new.
You're not going to purge something you want to keep.
That's right.
Right. Yeah.
Bricks build up.
What's that?
Bricks build up. So that's the bricks thing, is that they're building up people.
So you're building through the cleansing and all that thing.
Yeah.
That's right.
You up to be the man that he wants you to be.
That's good.
That's good.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Anybody else?
Rich, did you give the definition for XBA?
No, would you please? Do you have it?
Yes, it means to atone for.
Oh, ooh, wow. Okay.
What?
Atone for. Their sins must be expiated by sacrifice. And the synonyms for it were atone for, make amends for, make up for, do penance for, and pay for.
Oh, XBA.
He paid a price. Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's very good. Okay, some good stuff coming out today here. Always does, doesn't it? Anybody else before we go to Psalms 50? See, we're moving right along.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Psalms 51:8. Do you have anything on 7? Are we done? Okay, we're finished.
We're done.
We'll get into it next week.
Go ahead, Oscar.
No, we'll get it. No, I was just going to say we'll get into it next week.
Yeah, go ahead and close.
Okay, Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to gather together in your name. We thank you for even the insights that you've given us here today, Father. We just ask you to help us take that word and just apply it in our hearts and just let it come out into each one of our lives. And Father, we thank you that you did purge us from all of our sins, and you did expiate us from all of our sins, and you did cleanse us from all of our sins. And we just thank you that you've done all these wonderful things for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.